Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My pleasure to be with you, even with my one-third of a case of laryngitis. I'm still glad to be here, and I hope you are too. I'm sure you are. I know it's like a dream come true for you, especially since you probably know who our guest is this half hour, Ken Grunbach, who is our generational demographics expert, among other things that he's really smart about. Ken is the president of KGC Direct. He's the author of Common Census, the counterintuitive guide to generational marketing. He's our good friend Ken Grunbach. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
It's good to have you back.
Hey, so what's with your voice?
It's just, I just got this little, for the last 3 or 4 days, I've had this little, just about a one-third case of laryngitis. It just changes my voice. It doesn't hurt or anything. It's just one of those things. I don't know what it is. You'd think, it's pretty unusual to get something like this in the summertime. But you know, Ken, you know how it is with small business owners. We keep on going.
That's right. You don't call in sick.
That's exactly, you can't, there's no calling in sick. That's exactly right. When you're self-employed, you have your own small business, you got to go to work. So what's the news on our generations, Ken?
Well, I think you're going to see a huge number of new businesses started by young people, and I think we're getting a sense of that right now. What's going to precipitate that is kids that are getting out of college, and the generation that's currently under 22 years old, peaked right now at 17, 18 years old, is going to experience an enormous amount of competition in finding jobs. And they're going to experience about 20-30% unemployment for entry-level work. So what
really?
That does...
Even though they're replacing a generation half their size, and even though there are maybe 2 to 5 million jobs going wanting right now?
Yeah. Well, see, what you have to do is you have to match the right people up with the right jobs.
That's right.
The entry-level jobs, the generation that's small, Generation X, is 22 to 42 right now, age 22 to 42.
Right.
The jobs that are begging, that are going begging, are mid-level skill jobs,
management jobs.
Yeah. The kids that are getting out of college, the kids that are getting out of high school, are not going to be competing for those. They're going to be competing for entry-level jobs.
Right.
And there's so many of them that you're going to find that they're going to be just like the boomers. They're going to be starting their own businesses, and hopefully they'll start their own businesses and serve their own generation.
Well, not only they'll be doing this, not only because of what you just said with regard to not having a place for them, but also because they've got a different attitude about what their future holds than my generation had when we were graduating from college. I mean, these are people who their first thought about where am I going to go is not to go to work for somebody else. I mean, at least for many of these people, at least half of them are thinking, I believe, half of them are thinking, you know what, I could have my own business.
Well, I think that necessity here, Jim, is going to be the mother of invention. There's absolutely no question that what you're saying is true, and today's kids are different. I mean, they're different. You know, we thought we were bright. I mean, today's kids are very astute, very bright, very tuned in. They're very, their access to information is great.
And they're global thinkers too, aren't they?
Absolutely.
They're digital natives and global thinkers, and that's a very powerful combination, isn't it?
Well, think about it. When digitally, in the cyber world, like it or not, you and I are immigrants. We might be good at what we do. We might understand it, but they're natives. They speak the language. I could sit at my computer and have a problem in the, like in Microsoft Word, and I'm struggling, and my 15-year-old daughter will pass by and say, "Dad, that," and it's gone.
Yeah.
So it's things are changing, Jim. Isn't that strange?
Yeah, they are. And no, you're exactly right. And this. The younger generations are going to change things a lot, especially, as you say, the Gen Ys, because there's so many of them. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We've got more to come with our good friend Ken Grumbach. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you'll check those out when you get a chance. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us and use all of the things that we have there to your advantage. Don't forget, go to both of those sites today, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of good stuff there. And askjim.biz. That's the knowledge base where you can get answers. So check those out today. Ken Grumbach is our guest. Ken Grumbach is the president of KGC Direct. He's the author of Common Census. Ken, give us your website, please.
It's www.kgcdirect.com.
And they can find your book there, can't they?
Yeah, they can find the book. From my website, you can go directly to my blog. And I got to tell you, the blog is fun.
Yeah.
Blog is. Somebody told me, they said, like, when you start a blog, it's like a cow. You got to milk it every day. you have to write. But I get thousands of people from all over the world that listen to my crazy stuff.
The blogosphere is an interesting part of cyberspace, isn't it?
Yes, it is, very very much.
And the young people are there, aren't they?
Oh yeah. Oh, they absolutely. They are. And I got to tell you, for your small business owners, Jim, they are not thinking Generation Y right now, and making a big mistake, because this is a consuming generation with lots of money. They have their parents' money right now. They're going to have their own money. And they are bigger than the baby boomers.
Yeah. What do you think they're going to be, if you were a small business owner right now, in Heartland America, and you were trying to make sure that your business model was aligned for that generation, what would it look like?
Well, one of the things that you want to absolutely take very, very seriously is have some kind of green aspect to your business.
Yeah.
And make it known. Don't make it passive. Don't make it diminutive. Make it serious. Some kind of green, because...
Environmentally friendly, when you say green, that's what you're talking about.
That's exactly mm-hmm. what I'm talking about. Some kind of environmentally friendly aspect to your business, so if Generation Y has a choice over you and your competitor, and yours is green and theirs is not, they will choose you. It's that simple.
Don't you also need to have someone working with you that they can speak to on their in their wavelength, so to speak? Can a 58-year-old business owner wait on, for example, a 20-year-old Gen Y?
Well, it's an interesting answer to that, Jim, because if it was our generation and our parents waiting on us, no. But this generation seems to be very, very versatile in their ability to communicate. And if you're a cool, you know, boomer, you know, like you and me, we wouldn't have a problem. Yeah, hire kids.
So But it, and also, isn't it important, don't you think it's important to have people working with you from the different generations, the Gen Ys, the Gen Xs, and you, and talk to them about what they think about your business model, about what they think about your products and your marketing. I mean, won't they give you some insight? Your own employees give you some insight. You know, there was a time, I can remember back, you know, 20 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, Ken, when there was never any generational talk. Nobody talked about the generations. Nobody, you know, it was never really ever mentioned. But today, it's really important, isn't it, to have someone in your organization who can speak to each one of these generations?
It's not only important; it's critical. It's critical for you to know and understand that when you say something, say a given statement that you, and I don't know, it's hot outside. That means a different thing to a boomer. It means a different thing to an Xer. It means a different thing to a Gen Y. Absolutely. And so if you have a multi-generational business, it is imperative that you know and understand the communication. It's almost like they speak a different language. Now, but the encouraging thing is there's no barrier to this communication relative to an attitude. I mean, mm-hmm. And maybe in some cases you might see that, but very, very rare. I would encourage it. I mean, this is...
Well, one of the things that you said earlier I think is very important. You said in the previous segment, Ken, you said that they're going to be starting their own businesses and they're going to be serving themselves, their own generation. And see, I think that's something new, don't you? Don't you think that's a new phenomenon that really hasn't happened in the past?
No. Let me tell you why. Do you recall the era in the 70s?
Are you saying you disagree with me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I do.
I just wanted to make sure I knew what you were doing. Okay, go ahead.
Is our conversation over?
No, it's okay. It's okay to disagree.
About that.
Even though you're probably wrong, it's okay to disagree with me. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ken.
Here's the example. Why did I say it like that, serve themselves? If you look at the 70s were the era when you had an explosion of small businesses. And especially in retail, of the boutique. Remember that word, boutique?
Yep.
Where people served tiny segments. There are, because you had such a huge community of boomers with so many interests, mm-hmm. These businesses, you know, cropped up and served the various aspects of the boomers. You're going to see the same thing with Y.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to continue this debate right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're visiting with our good friend Ken Grombach. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Ken Grombach is our guest, and we're talking about the generations, especially the younger generations. Ken, quickly, on what we were talking about before we went to the break, the reason I think that the Ys are different than the boomers, when the boomers started all those businesses in the 70s, we didn't care who came in the door. We weren't necessarily trying to focus on our generation. We were opening up a business. But I think, back to your original point, and I'm trying to help you make your original point, I think that the Gen Y businesses, small businesses, they almost won't care if anybody else comes in the business. They'll be focusing on the things that speak to their generation, and there'll be enough of them, and they'll have enough money that they'll be able to be successful just with their own generation. What do you think?
Well, I would agree, with all aspects of that, except if you think about it, when the boomers opened their businesses, especially their retail businesses, they were tailored. Remember, mm-hmm. I don't even like the term, but remember the head shops, and remember the you know, the funky clothing shops, mm-hmm. and you know, all of the things that boomers did, that was geared at their own generation. That was geared boomers at boomers. Now, granted, a lot of people, you know, a lot of these people went in, became plumbers.
Yeah.
And they really didn't care who called them. They did the work. You're going to see, I think, that pretty much across the board, because there is so much demand, and the demand is very, very diversified. Not only are Generation Y going to serve themselves, but they're also going to open up businesses, really, that are going to serve themselves and everybody else.
Let's go to the other end of the spectrum and talk about the aging baby boomers.
Yeah.
Where's the opportunity there?
Well, you know, that's strange, Jim, because there's so many baby boomers now that are retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a generation that's actually...
In their 50s.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to their 60s and 70s for their parents.
Well, that's exactly right. But a lot of them are not... They're retiring, but they're not retiring voluntarily. So you have mm-hmm. baby boomers that are in their 50s with an enormous amount of experience and expertise that don't know what to do.
And they still want to work, or maybe they still need to work.
Both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so... What I would encourage those people to do is that there are tons and tons of small businesses for sale, tons, and there's lots and lots of opportunities. You'll find that baby boomers, when they get outplaced by an insurance company, think they're going to be hired again by another insurance company. But
right.
After 50, people can tell how old you are by your resume, and they just don't hire people after 50. They don't. That's the end of that. So your opportunity is to go into business for yourself, and you know, one more really exciting opportunity for boomers is private equity funding. Now, private equity funding is using somebody else's money to buy a business that you run and you have a big partner.
Right.
There's a lot.
How do we get access to those private equity partners?
Well, Google it. There's enough of them to float a boat.
Huh.
There's so much private equity funding out there because the private equity funding precipitated from the dot-com bomb. It's where all that money
right.
went.
Right. Are you talking about venture capital?
No. No, so private equity funding and venture capital are two different things. Venture capital is for essentially for startups.
Right.
And private equity funding, if let's say you as a 50-year-old person found a business that you love, but you don't want to use your own money, or you don't have your own money. What you do is you find a private equity firm that specializes in that particular industry or business,
mm-hmm.
and demonstrate to them that you can run it, and then you cut a deal with them, and in essence, you buy it together.
Right.
It's very cool, and a lot of people doing it.
They're also you're probably talking about SBICs, Small Business Investment Corporations.
That could well be.
Yeah. There are lots of them out there. You're right. There are a bunch of them out there. And you basically just described an SBIC. These are people who focus on – and by the way, folks, you can find a list of SBICs at the SBA website, sba.gov, because many of them are chartered by the SBA. Okay, I don't know if you knew that or not.
Are you asking me? I don't know.
but I'm just saying
that's a lot of letters.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it. I usually can only put three together at one time. Hey, Kim, give us your website again, please.
Okay, www.kgcdirect.com.
Hey, thanks, Kim, for being here. Good job.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame with just one-third case of laryngitis. No more. Reminding you that this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.